What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intercept, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to get drug facts, high school and youth trends with Officer French, Tallahassee Police Department. Illicit drugs include marijuana, hashish, cocaine, including crack, heroin, hallucinogens, inhalants, psychotherapeutic medication, not taken under the health provider's supervision. 2014, Monitoring the Future Survey of Drug Use and Attitudes Among American 8th, 10th, and 12th graders indicates encouraging news about youth drug use, including decreasing use of alcohol, cigarettes, and prescription pain relievers. No increase in use of marijuana, decreasing use of inhalants and synthetic drugs, including K2 spice and bath salts, and a general decline over the last two decades in the use of illicit drugs. Unfortunately, new substances to get high with tend to travel fast. It can be challenging to stay on top of all the varieties of illicit drugs adolescents are using. Officer French, thanks so much for coming.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. We really appreciate you coming and sharing this information with us. First of all, are you finding the same kinds of things that these reports are finding, that the illicit drug use is down, or is that just nationwide?
It varies.
Okay.
It varies between, you know, states. It varies between even communities within the states.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as a decrease, I see it just as much as I've, mm-hmm. you know, I've seen it throughout my career.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start, please, with heroin, because heroin is the one that everybody is hearing about right now. So would you share with us about heroin use here in the Panhandle area, I guess particularly Leon, Gadsden County? What is heroin? What are the demographics, the cost, just heroin 101? Okay.
Sure. Just a little background. Heroin comes from the poppy plant, and it's grown in a couple areas within the world. Afghanistan is a big grower of it, and now Mexico is involved in it. So you have two different kinds of heroin. You'll have a black tar heroin or brown heroin. That's usually coming from the Mexican heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll have – they call it China white, and that's actually coming from Afghanistan. So what we're seeing here is more of the brown mm-hmm. powder. We're not getting so much of the tar, and don't really know the reason for that other than – it just may be a preferred method of using it here locally, whereas out west they prefer the tar for the most part.
Okay.
And the China white's really hard to get here in the United States, so I haven't come across any of that in my career. The powder or the heroin itself is being used more. At least we've seen it more.
Mm-hmm.
May not, you know, the use still may be average, but we're just coming across it more. And we believe it to be because of the pill mills being shut down in South Florida.
Oh, okay.
So the pills, the opiates they were getting, you know, the Oxycontins, mm-hmm. all the pills they were getting, the sources have dried up for the most part. So they were referring back to the heroin to get that similar feeling for them, and that's why we've seen the increase in the use.
Wow. Okay. How much does it cost? I mean, is it expensive or is it inexpensive?
It's expensive here.
Okay. Whereas, and when you say expensive, give me an idea. I mean, what
sure.
do you mean by expensive?
it varies. They usually come in like they call them bindles. It's usually like an eighth of a gram. And that can range anywhere from, you know, $40 to $80.
Now, how long will that last? I mean, you're paying $80 for a high. And how long does that high stay with you? And how do they administer it?
It depends on the person.
Okay.
Usually it's several hours. However, if they've been using it, you know, for long periods of time, they have to have more of it to get the same, you know, high that they've had.
Okay.
So, that $80 for somebody who's been using it or $48 for somebody who's been using it for years may not give them the same. So that's why They're having to spend more money on it, and they're having to – if they don't have a job, they have to find that money somewhere, and then that's where you start getting – I mean, not just heroin, but all, you know, drugs in general. That's where you start getting the break-ins, the burglaries, the robberies, because they're trying to fund their habit.
Okay, yeah, and when they're addicted, they have no choice. They need – their body is craving and saying, I need the drug.
But the other part of the question is how they're administering it. Is it here anyways, it's still you know, with needles. That's what we've been seeing the most. Now, I mean, can you snort it? Yes. Can you – any way that you can get into your body, you know, they'll find a way, you know, to get the high. However, the common use of it is still going to be the needles.
Okay. Now, we hear a lot about needle exchange – needle programs. Do we have those here or how?
That just passed in the legislature.
Okay.
So that will be – I don't know what the time frame is when it's going to get started, but that will be –
That will be something we'll be –
Right. And now here locally, there's two methadone clinics.
Okay.
So there are, you know, locations where, you know, people that are addicted to the heroin can get the, you know, proper methadone treatment from their doctors.
What about – what is that? Narcan?
Narcan, yes.
Yes.
Ma'am.
Do officers carry that? I mean, is that available? Do we use that at all?
The officers, we don't have it ourselves. Mm-hmm. But after a recent presentation I did, somebody asked me the same question. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I went to the fire department. I went to the emergency medical with the county.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them. I said, do you guys have it? Well, on every single ambulance in Leon County, they have it.
Okay.
And on, I think it was 10 stations here, fire stations have it as well.
Okay.
So it's available, and it's available fairly quickly, you know, because usually, depending on what the call for service is, we get it at the same time they get it. So we're both headed there at the same time.
Okay.
But yeah, but as far as officers having ourselves, not yet. Okay. But I did talk to one of our majors about it, and they may be looking into that.
Okay. What do the heroin addicts look like? I mean, often. Yeah, I guess I'm dating myself, but when you think of heroin, or at least when I think of heroin, you think of maybe musicians and, you know, that kind of thing. And I know in Vermont, yes, it's predominantly white kids. Okay,
right.
But what does it look like here?
It's everybody.
Okay.
Yep, I've seen all different shades, colors, creeds, everything. It affects everybody.
Okay. Now, do people usually start out on heroin or they graduate to that? Is that – I mean, or it just depends?
It depends. They could, you know, start something, you know, what I guess would be considered, you know, less of a
mm-hmm.
drug.
Their gateway drug.
Right, and
that's
they move
up
to it, or it depends on how they're introduced to it. They could first time at a party or something and a friend says, here, try this. They try it and then they're on it.
Okay. I mean, so I guess folks aren't afraid of that. That doesn't deter – I mean, heroin, you know – in my day, I mean, when I was in, heroin was like taboo.
Right.
Nobody thought of using heroin. But now it's an acceptable drug.
Right. And it's not
As far as illicit drugs go,
right.
You know what
I mean. and the thing with the heroin, though, is we have overdose deaths that are related to that. I know we have them. Everybody has them.
Yeah.
But traditionally, or most recently anyways, it hasn't been so much contributed to the heroin itself, but what they're actually cutting it with.
Okay.
And what they're cutting it with is a substance called fentanyl. Now, fentanyl.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fentanyl is usually reserved for terminally ill cancer patients.
Right.
It'll come on a little patch, and they'll have it on them, on their body. But and I'm not a health professional, but so forgive me for the math, but small amounts is fatal, like milligrams we're talking. So you're trusting the fact that whoever you're buying your heroin from took the time to use the exact amount of math and to cut this heroin with the fentanyl that is not going to kill you. And we've had several deaths related here that they'll find them with a needle still stuck in their arm because it's that fast acting.
Oh, I was going to ask you, does that increase the high? Or is that just for cutting purposes and money, making more
right,
money?
Right, yeah, it makes their product go further. So
okay.
And it has a similar effect to the heroin. So the user can't usually tell that there's much of a difference.
Oh, okay. Let's see, what else? There's so many. You know, when I was getting ready for this interview with you, I thought, I better get myself together and see what the – And I went on the net, and I was blown. away with all the drugs, and you can't stay up with. How do you stay up with these drugs?
It's hard. And it's even harder because obviously we have to wait on the legislature to make things illegal before we can do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And with these new synthetics that are coming over from China, we're usually about 6 months behind. With the attorney general will do an emergency order.
So you can't keep up.
Right. It's hard. And we don't have test kits a lot of the times for this stuff. So we have to we're overloading the FDLE labs with all these substances we're seizing. So we have to send it off. They have to tell us yes it's controlled or no it's not. And what the good thing about that though is when we send them in and they're not controlled yet, but they're getting a bunch of the stuff in, that's when they'll take it and go to the attorney general and say, hey, we're seizing statewide. We're seizing a bunch of the stuff. It should be controlled, or it's given the same effects of something else that is illegal. So you guys might want to look at it, and that's when the emergency bills come out, and then next legislation session they voted into law.
So it takes by that time there's a new drug.
Right, just about. just about.
Okay, what about alcohol? I mean, alcohol. I know that's old and passé.
Sure,
but that kids do still drink alcohol.
Absolutely.
And what's the status of it?
I mean, it's making money. So, I mean, they're paying – people that are manufacturing are paying taxes on it.
I mean, is it as popular as it used to be, or is it kind of passé now? I guess that's what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't I don't know that our DUIs are up or down, more so than normal.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's obviously one of the most abused – drugs are out there. I mean, especially because it's
so accessible.
Right.
It's easy, easy to get, and kids have no reservation. If they see you walking into a store asking you, well, would you buy me?
Right.
And I'm like, what? But it's a new day.
Yep.
It is a new day.
Or they'll raid mom and dad's refrigerator or.
That's right.
Yep. Or, fill their liquor bottles back up with water or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I had a teacher sharing with me how they might come in with what you think is a bottle of water. And when she walked by the desk, it had a strong smell. So I guess it wasn't vodka, but it had an odor. And that's what tuned her into it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they have a soda. Okay, and they'll put all the alcohol and everything in that soda, and you're thinking they're drinking Coke.
Right. They'll soak gummy bears in it and eat the gummy bears. I saw a thing online of some trend where they were pouring it into the corners of their eyes.
Oh, wow.
So, right.
Hold your thoughts. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a quick break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I have Officer Justin French, who is taking me to school. He is teaching us about drugs 101. We've talked about heroin. We've talked about alcohol. Let me just jump to the steroids. Are those an issue today? I think about antibiotic steroids, and the hormones and growth hormones. Is that a big deal?
They're definitely out there. They've got websites now that you can pretty much order it straight to your door, coming from Mexico or Canada or, some other country. And there's also, people here in town that will, order it and turn around and sell it too. We don't see it as much as we used to.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's not here. It's just not out in the open as much as a lot of these other stuff that's out there.
Well, I tell you one we've heard a lot about is bath salts. What are bath salts? Now, they're synthetic, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Teach us, please.
All right. So the bath salts, all synthetics are manufactured to mimic something that occurs in nature, some other kind of substance that is out there. So a lot of these bath salts and synthetics, they are to go after the cot plant. I don't know if you've seen the movie Black Hawk Down, but
yes.
Yeah, okay. So they're in the movie, they're chewing on pieces of plant, and that is the cot plant. And what that is, it's like 100% synthetic. Allows them to stay awake, fight all night.
So it's a stimulant.
Yes, ma'am. So what they've done is they have taken the cathinones from the cot plant, and they have synthesized them, and now there are tons of them out there. So, but what they do is So, for instance, one that has come up recently in South Florida is called Alpha PVP or okay. FLOCA.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All
so,
right.
what that is one, that, right, that is one FLOCA, specific yeah. Substance. It's just Alpha PVP. And that was – it was made in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason now, it's big here. But what has happened is – so China, this is where all the stuff's being manufactured at. The U.S. puts pressure on China. Hey, you need to stop making Alpha PVP. You're just sending it over here and you know, causing problems. So China's like, okay, cool. We'll do that. We'll make Alpha PVP illegal. However, the chemists over there, because they want to keep making money, will – alter the chemical just a little bit. So now they'll call it something else like Bravo PVP. Well, now Bravo PVP is not illegal
mm-hmm.
because it hasn't been scheduled yet. So that's where that's where the whole 6 month time frame from, you know, getting it here, getting an emergency bill, and then getting it voted, you know, into law. But this kind of stuff is the stuff you see on the news of people running around naked.
Okay. Yeah. So this is what's
yes,
going
ma'am.
On.
And they call it different things. They'll call it FLOCA. They'll call it Molly.
Okay.
Right. But the
so Molly and FLOCA and bath salts are all the
same family.
Same thing.
Yes, ma'am.
They're are the same family.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, because you don't. That's the thing too. Like the people that are selling the stuff, they don't really know what they're selling, and so therefore the people that are taking it don't really know what they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
So if I took Alpha PVP last time and I took a you know a certain amount and I was fine. Well, I go back to that same guy that I bought it from. He's selling something completely
Bravo
different.
Bravo now.
Right.
And it has a different chemical okay.
And so then that's when I start having problems. You know, they hallucinate real bad. They always feel like somebody's chasing them, trying to kill them. They attack shiny things or so a lot of times their own reflection. So there's tons of videos out there of them punching car windows and stuff because they're attacking their own reflection. And then –
does this recycle in their system? What do you do? How do you address this?
We have to get them in custody and take them straight to the hospital.
Okay.
At that point, I mean, could they have done something real, you know, bad? Sure, but our goal is to get them into custody and get them to the hospital. So, but what it entails is because they don't, they have like superhuman strength,
and they don't
have very susceptible to pain. So that's when you get all the – you know, we'll have to get four or five officers
okay,
to hold them down.
That's what I was getting ready to ask
right.
you.
And they're yelling, screaming, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me, or, you know, because they're hallucinating and there's, you know,
and
five officers.
And they think somebody's getting mm-hmm.
– And it looks bad. I mean, people come by with their camera, your phone, and they think we're actually – we're not hurting. We're not trying to hurt them. We're trying to get
them – restrain them so you can get them to the emergency room.
Yep, because we have – this isn't a guarantee, but sometimes we have – it's called sudden in custody death or excited delirium.
Oh, okay.
So that's a serious thing. Like, and if they're sweating, they're taking their clothes off because they're basically cooking from the inside. This stuff, it raises their core temp super high. I went to a class not long ago, and some guys from South Florida were there and said that like several hours after death, they were still getting like 106, 107 temps off the bodies down there from somebody that had done this stuff. So our goal is to get them in custody and get them on the EMS and get them to the hospital as fast as we can. And even then, I mean, even if they administer what they can, it's not a guarantee that they're going to be able to bring them back. I mean, they could be too far gone at that point.
Now, how much – give me an idea of how much bath salts cost. I mean, what's the cost?
It's cheap. And that's why why it's an issue, yeah. One hit of FLOCA is about $5.
And how long does this high last?
It depends. Everybody's body chemistry is going to react differently to it. They can last, you know, several, you know, hours, several days.
Oh, days.
Well,
does it recycle or what happens?
No, it does have a half-life. It will get out of their system at some point.
Okay.
But as far as – and I get asked this question a lot. Well, is there any treatment for it?
Mm-hmm.
For them, you know, any addiction or anything? As far as I know – and. There hasn't been a lot of research done on this stuff because it's – even though it's been around since the 60s, nobody's really using it, so there's no reason to study it. That there isn't a big addiction to it other than they just like the way they feel. There's a dependent – as far as addiction, I mean dependency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not going to go through a withdrawal from it or anything like that. But again, I could be way off. I'm not a medical professional, but that's a little bit of research that I've done on it.
Okay. All right, cigarette smoking. And I know the report, Monitoring the Future Survey, said that cigarette smoking by youth has dropped. However, other forms of tobacco use remain high. For example, e-cigarettes are now very high. And what happens, I guess, and I guess I need you to tell me, with e-cigarettes, well, they're not smoking. It's the nicotine and it's vaporized, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. And then it's inhaled. Is that – that's the way – well, you tell me. How does it work?
Yes, ma'am. That's the way it works. It comes in a liquid, and inside the e-cigarette or vapor or whatever they're using, it heats it up. And it heats it up to the point where you can pull the smoke off of it. And then so, yeah, they are inhaling – well – say it's not smoke, it's vapor, but semantics, however you want to look at it.
Right.
But yes, they will inhale it and then they'll absorb the nicotine or whatever they've got in it, because they've got cannabis stuff now that they can put in these things and then get, you know, blow it out.
Okay. So now to buy e-cigarettes, you're supposed to be 21, right?
I'm not sure on the age, but I know at all these head shops that are around. They claim they're for oral tobacco, so you can go in there and. But I don't know exactly, you know.
But now, can you buy the nicotine there? Is that where you buy the nicotine? I mean, I'm thinking, what if someone is trying to kick the habit legitimate?
Right.
You know, now where do they get this nicotine?
They have the head, like all these smoke shops. It's not just head shops, but okay. I mean, they have like shops just dedicated to vaping. So you can go into those vape shops and legitimately, you know, get your vapor and get your stuff and
get your nicotine.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We're not in Colorado, but I guess you could also get your cannabis too if
right.
we were there.
Right.
Okay. Same. I guess I got to put it in a certain context,
sure,
so I can understand what you're talking about. Okay. And before we started the program, and I guess this is a little passe, but I want you to talk a little bit about inhalants, laughing gas and glue and paint. Are those, I guess they are still used. Right.
Right, yeah. I have no doubt they're out there. I mean, a lot of the stuff is over the counter, so it's easy to get a hold of, or, you know, they go into the garage, you know, at home and, you know, pull whatever chemical out or under the sink or wherever, whatever they're going to, you know, huff.
How do they determine what to huff?
I mean, the internet. I mean, you get online, you can find out how to do anything. YouTube, you can learn how to do anything you want to do. They'll show you on YouTube, there's videos of how the whole butane honey oil process with cannabis and all kinds of stuff. You can get online and find it.
No problem. And I guess this would be very easy because a lot of are household substances, right?
Right, correct.
So you just need to open up the cleaning cabinet and use those. Or go to the gas station, I guess, and huff gas.
I remember, you know, way back in the day, people would actually steal gas out of people's cars to do it because they didn't have any of their own.
Now, who is doing this? And when I say who, are we talking about young folks, older folks?
Everybody.
Really?
I've seen old, young, middle-aged. It doesn't matter.
In reading and preparing for this, one thing I noticed that they said is that in the rural areas, as opposed to the urban areas, you see different trends. Do you see that here?
Somewhat. Usually in the rural areas, which is changing now, but there used to be a lot of meth. Meth also always used to be associated with trailer park, white folks in trailer parks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's changing. I mean, it's because of so much meth that's coming over the Mexican border.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is using it now. A lot of people, in fact, have they're being told they're being sold Molly or Flocka, and they're actually being sold, you know, meth. Because, we've actually gotten it back, tested it, and they're like, well, you ask them what it is. They're like, oh, it's Molly. Well, you test it, and no, it's methamphetamine. So, again, that's the whole thing of they don't know what they're taking. But meth is really coming
very,
in hard.
Very popular. Okay. And how much does this – how much does this cost?
It depends because, again, if I don't know what I'm selling, I might think I'm just still selling Molly. And, yeah, so I'm not going to, sell it what normally you would sell meth for. But, I mean, meth, it all depends. Depends on, you know, what they want to sell it for, because if I'm a meth cook, a lot of times what they'll do is, in order for me to come buy meth from you or, from, you know, them come buy it from me, they have to bring me a box of Sudafed. because that is the the main substance, right?
And that's hard to obtain.
Correct. Right. Yeah. So when you go to the CVS or Walgreens or whatever, you're going to get pharmacy.
Right.
They have to swipe your driver's license when you go to buy this this stuff. Just for you to have a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is you're only allowed to buy so much a month. It's either a month or a 30-day period. I can't remember exactly what it is.
So what you could do is just go to a whole lot of different
– No. It's a database.
Okay.
So, yeah, they are all – it's a statewide database. They're all talking to each other.
Okay.
But this is what they'll do. They'll go to a homeless shelter or wherever, and they'll get a bus or a van, and they'll – hey, you want to make a 12-pack or you want to make 10 bucks? They'll load them all in there, and they'll all take them, and one by one, they'll go in there and buy a Sudafed for them. It's a term. It's called smurfing. So they'll do that so they can get large amounts of Sudafed. But in lieu of that, if they can't get that, then that's when a lot of times, I'll require you to bring me a box of Sudafed. So I will you still have to pay me for the meth, but it's not going to be as much because you're giving me some of the Sudafed back. But, I mean, if you were just to buy it outright, I mean, it depends on how much you're buying. But usually, we're talking $20, $40, for a normal amount that somebody would buy.
Okay. Well, marijuana. Reports indicate that marijuana has remained basically stable since 2014. In 2014, it's by far the most commonly illicit drug among adolescents. Would you agree with that?
Yes, ma'am.
That's what the reports were saying. Okay. And it can be smoked and vaped. And a big problem, what I understand, is with these edibles, because with the edibles, you don't know how much you are eating.
Right.
Okay. And there continues to be a shift. One of the issues that they reported was that there's a shift now in the attitude about the use of cannabis. The teens tend to think that it's not as harmful as it used to be. Talk to us about marijuana. What is it about marijuana that keeps it so popular? The medicinal component, does that give you a confusing perspective on it? Share, because I know a lot of folks ask me, make sure you find out. Okay.
I don't know why they kids use it, more so than anything else. It appears, that it could be, just because it's readily available. People grow it here. I mean, they have it shipped in. It's always out and about and it's popular. I mean, also on top of that, it's popular in movies, it's popular in TV, it's popular in music. So they're being exposed to this, all from all angles.
And they're getting double messages too now.
Right.
So if you can take something and use it medicinally, then how can it be that harmful?
Right. Now, again, I'm not a health professional.
Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge, that the only part of the actual cannabis that has medical purpose is the CBDs.
Okay.
That's just an acronym for long, chemical term.
Uh-huh.
So what that does is the way they grow the cannabis, they can grow it to where it's got – nowadays especially where it's like 90, 95% THC in it, whereas back in 60s and 70s, we're talking 7 to 10%. So we're already talking.
So it's not the same marijuana.
It is not the same.
Uh huh.
And so much so that some people actually will hallucinate when they're just doing cannabis, because the THC levels are so high in that particular reaction, inside their body. But so because they can grow it that way and have the THC that high, they can also grow it to where the THC is like down to zero and the CBDs are up to 90-95%.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, to my knowledge, is what has the medical purpose.
Medical. That's right.
So like the state of Virginia, they have they have CBD specialist doctors. So just like you got cancer, you go to your primary care says, yes, you have cancer, you need to go see a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just like that in Virginia. You go to your primary care, hey, I've got whatever, disease or whatever condition I have that I feel like I need CBDs. So my primary care will say, okay, well, you have to go see a CBD specialist. Okay. And the specialist will determine whether I need it or not. So it's not like California where, you get your medical marijuana card and you can go to any dispensary.
You just go any place and just show your card.
Right. So, again, that's not – that's something for the legislatures to figure out, how they want to handle it here. But it is from what I understand, it's going to be up for vote, November anyway. So,
mm-hmm.
Right. Indeed. So we'll see how that shakes out. But obviously our stance is it's still illegal. So
who's when you say marijuana, who's – I know you're going to say everyone, but when we look at the kids, and when I say kids, I mean adolescents,
sure,
young adults, who's your typical marijuana user?
Well, I mean, it all depends. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of them may find mom and dad's stash at home. So they're getting it honest. I mean, where they're, you know, they're following their parents' lead,
mm-hmm,
or, you know, have an older brother, older sister, they expose them to it, or, you know, friends, you know, if they're involved in sport, football teammate, you know, baseball, you know, whatever,
mm-hmm,
they may get exposed to it. And
what's the cost?
It varies too. Yeah. I mean, they call nickel bags $5, dime bags $10, all the way up.
Oh, so they still do that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All the way up to, you know, half ounce, you know, they don't do, it's not like kilo levels. Usually it's pound levels for, mm-hmm, for cannabis. But
mm-hmm,
yeah, and it also depends on what kind of cannabis we're talking about because, I mean, there are so many strains out there. I mean, diesel, gas, loud. I mean, all these different terms for these different kinds of cannabis strains that are grown.
Okay. Now, spice is the synthetic marijuana.
Well, they want to call it synthetic marijuana, but it's really not synthetic marijuana. What it is, it's its own chemical on its own.
You're tuned in to 411 Team. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Officer Justin French. Officer French, I had to interrupt you. We were talking about spice, but if you would like to continue, I'd appreciate it.
All right. So everybody wants to call it synthetic marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
I think the reason they do that is because it is a plant material. And it is usually used the same way as cannabis would be used, but, you know, therefore smoked or, you know, put in an edible or anything like that. However,
it seems to be real dangerous, though, right? People.
It is. Okay. And this is, and the plant material is of no consequence. It is only a plant material that is, will burn similarly to cannabis. Plant material itself has nothing to do with any kind of effects whatsoever.
Okay.
What does have the effect is what they have sprayed on these. On this plant material. And what happens is they have big warehouses. They'll put it in a couple ways to do it. One, they'll put it in a cement mixer and not the trucks, but, you know, mm-hmm, one of the smaller ones. And they'll start rolling the plant material around. Well, while they're doing that, they'll take the actual chemical itself and they'll pour it in there. And they hope that it gets, you know, mixed around. But what happens, then they'll spread it out. And then they'll package it. Another way they do it, they'll spread the plant material out on the tarps themselves, and then somebody with the looks like an exterminator pack will fill the chemical up in that with the wand and spray all the chemicals on the plant material. Well, what happens is that in both processes, it doesn't it's not consistent on the plant material.
Okay.
So when the people come to
more concentrated
in one area, in some area it may not be. So the packaging on it is usually bright colors. It's clearly
– Now, it was sold in the bodegas or 7-Elevens?
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had two cases here after, mm-hmm, we had a traffic homicide on Tennessee and Monroe there.
Right.
And it was determined that the driver had bought from one of the local stores. So then we in turn went and did an investigation there, mm-hmm, and a bust in the store, mm-hmm, for selling the stuff. But – So the packaging's all – I mean, they've got cartoon characters on it, smiley face. I mean, you name it. It's brightly colored.
So it's very appealing.
Right. And, of course, it says not for human consumption, and they think that that's going to get them around, you know, not getting in trouble or everything else. But – so what happens, mm-hmm, is I go there and I buy the stuff with a smiley face on it, and I smoke it, and I have no problems. Great. No big deal. Well, I go back again. And I buy the same thing because I think I'm going to get the same response out of it. And now this is the stuff that's been concentrated because it wasn't mixed right. That's when you start having the problems. I went to a call one night. There was three of his buddies. He'd already put his head through the sliding glass door.
What?
Picked up the coffee table, broke it, and he ransacked the whole house. Three of his buddies were holding him down. Two of my guys were there. And I walk in. He looks up at me and starts calling me mom. So he – yeah, there was some definitely some stuff going on there. And as soon as we got in the hospital, about an hour after he got to the hospital, and he didn't remember any of it, and he was fine. But had he not got medical intervention, you know, when he got it, he might not have ended up the same way, right?
Oh. Mm. Well, cough and cold medicines. Well, that's one that you were saying is still popular. Folks are still using it. Robitussin, I guess. Elaborate on that. How popular is it really? And who's using it?
Sure,
it
mainly it's adolescents using this because, again, it's over the counter. It's readily available. And what they'll do is they'll drink it and they'll just chug it. And they'll do enough of it and they'll get PCP-like effects to the point so much that they, if they were to be given a urinalysis, they may actually test positive for the PCP. And it's not just Robitussin. I mean, it's any over-the-counter, you know.
Any over-the-counter.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, some of them are so bad up, they'll actually take the gel caps and they'll pop the gel caps open and take that because they're wanting to get that high.
Okay. And so the cost of it just varies depending on how much you want to buy and what costs are.
But that may necessitate some of them doing burglaries to break into people's houses, you know, raiding medicine cabinets and just so that, you know, if they can't afford it themselves to try to get a hold of this stuff.
My head is just spinning. I can't help but go, how do you keep up with this? I mean, I'm just like, wow.
It's hard.
Oh, goodness. Okay, opioids, okay? And here I think I'm talking about the prescription pain medication, Oxy and Percocet. And how prevalent is that? Now, I guess it's cut down some, right?
To some extent.
Here in Florida.
Right, since the pill mills.
The pill mills
yes,
are gone.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they were shipping people in from Tennessee and Kentucky. They were taking busloads going down to South Florida and picking it up and going back. But it's still bad here. Mm-hmm. We still find, you know, somebody be asleep at the wheel and in traffic and go make contact with them and come to find out you'll find their spoons, you'll find their needles, you'll find all the paraphernalia related to it. And once they sober up enough, you ask them, they'll tell it. Yeah, I'm slamming pills in my arm. I mean, that's one way to do it is with the needles. You can actually smoke the pills. It's a whole process of tinfoil and everything. But yeah, I mean, you find a way to get it in there, they're going to get it in there. Now, the companies have tried to put binders on it, on the outside of it, so you can't just melt it down as easily to put it in a needle. And also, it also has to have enough on it for if you take it the way you're supposed to take it, to be time release, you know, with your stomach acids and everything else. But what they'll do is they call it rubbing. They'll actually moisten the pills a little bit with their tongue, and they'll rub it on their arms, on the sleeve of their shirt, and to try to wear as much of that stuff off as they can. Right. So you'll see every once in a while, usually blues and greens are the main colors of stuff. You'll see streaks on their sleeves every once in a while because they've been rubbing pills.
Okay. And so, of course, I guess parents need to be very aware of this.
Sure.
Well, they need to be very aware of all of it.
Well, right.
But these are things that you may find at home.
Right.
Parents may have – or somebody may have had a knee operation or whatever. And so they come home with a prescription for it. And that the kids go into the medicine cabinet, right? And get it.
Well, I mean, it's bad too. I mean, we've had some where they're actually staking out pharmacies, and they'll see somebody come through the drive-through that they believe is getting pain pills, or they've got somebody inside, like kind of listening what kind of medication that person in the drive-through is getting. They'll follow them home, and they'll either take it from them right then and there, or they'll wait till they leave and they'll break in their house and they'll get it. And what it's also done too is turn some elderly people or into drug dealers now because they're trying to supplement their income. So they're getting these pills, you know, prescribed to them, you know, legitimately. Mm-hmm. But then they're turning around and, you know, flipping a pill here or there. I mean, it's just like the college kids with Adderall. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just college kids, but kids, you know, people in general.
Right.
I mean, Adderall's, you know, really a big, right. But
right.
Same thing. They'll get a legitimate prescription for it. But then they'll turn around and sell, you know, some here and there just to make some money back.
And then you have someone. I had a student who had lupus, okay? And legitimately was prescribed some of this medication, had a lot of joint pain, and had a difficult time getting her medication refilled because the pharmacist was putting her through 20 questions. She had used more than, I think maybe she had enough for a month, and she had used a month in 22 days. And so she was catching hell trying to get her script refilled.
Well, a lot of the people that are on this stuff, they got on them originally for a legitimate reason. They legitimately had, you know, like I'll use my brother as an example. He was a police officer back home, mm-hmm. hurt his back, and got on the doctor prescribing the pills, and it was all downhill from there. I mean, he was so bad, he would go around knocking on people's doors with an empty gas can, ask them for a couple dollars of gas, not to get the gas, but
right.
to take the money to go buy more pills. I mean, because these aren't cheap. I mean, these are like $30 a piece on the street. So, okay. And just like everything else, you take one today, that's fine. But tomorrow, you know, you got to take two. The next day, you got to take three. I mean, it gets to the point where, you know, you may be taking 20, you know, 30 pills a day,
mm-hmm.
Just to maintain and keep the, you know, same high that you had, you know, originally.
How prevalent are using Oxy and Perc and what they call hillbilly heroin, I think they say.
Yeah,
that's the same thing.
Right. Well, they call it that because all the people coming down from Kentucky and Tennessee.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, it's all walks of life. I mean, like I said, a lot of them, unfortunately, start off having it legit for a legitimate reason, and their bodies react with the opiate, and they just get hooked, and they can't get off it.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's what – and you see that happening a lot in, you know, the celebrities. I think, you know, Michael Jackson's hair caught on fire, mm-hmm. and that's how he started because it was so painful or something, and then it just continued.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, he didn't get to this, but he was at a point where he was taking it.
Right.
And he needed it. What can the physicians do? I know you can't answer that. I mean, that's just a rhetorical question.
Right, I know.
I mean, you got a patient who's in pain, obviously needs it, but how can you monitor them to make sure that they don't abuse it and they don't even know that they're abusing it?
Well, yeah, there's some other stuff out there called Suboxone, which is made to help wean people off of this stuff. However, that's being abused now because it has a little bit of the stuff in there, just not – all of as much as the other pills do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's almost being just as much abused as the rest of it.
Well, that's like I know when I was in training and I did some work at a clinic, it was a methadone clinic. And this was back in the late 70s. And it had gotten to a point where first, you know, you could just go and show your card and you get the pill. Then they changed it because people would go in and get the methadone and go out the door and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it has the same effect. You can get mm-hmm. high on methadone. So it's the same kind of thing. Even though it's supposed to be a treatment, you're still getting high. And you're making money off of it. And I guess that's what it's about, getting high and making money.
That's it.
Okay. Whew. Okay. Where do we go? All right. I think we have a couple more. And if I forgotten something, I mean, please feel free to add it and let me know. Now, depressants, you know, prescription depressant medication is, I mean, when I'm thinking like sleeping pills
mm-hmm.
and barbiturates, are they as popular? Do we see a lot of them now?
Don't see so much as that. What we see a lot of is Xanax.
Okay.
So it almost every time we come across, you know, any kind of other pill, there's always Xanax in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, there's no trafficking charge for Xanax.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter how much they have on them. There's no minimum mandatory, you know, to lock them up.
Uh-huh.
And when I say lock them, I'm not talking about the users. I'm talking about the people that are selling it.
Right.
I mean, the users, yeah, they need to try to get treatment and try to get help. But I'm talking about the ones that are actually, you know, making money off of it and benefit from it. There's not a whole lot that we're able to do about that.
Can you share some of the treatment facilities that are here in this area for the listening audience? I mean, is that something you would be willing to do?
Sure.
Okay.
I can't give the location of the methadone clinics, but there are two in town.
So there are two of them.
So they are available. There is the detox is over there at PATH.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
On Appalachian Parkway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the front part is the mental health section, but in the on the back side there's a detox portion of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we take people there all the time. We'll have people call us, and they just want to ride there. And we'll pick them. We'll call, make sure they have room for them,
mm-hmm.
and we'll come pick them up, and we will go drop them off over there.
What should parents do? What kinds of signs might you advise they look for if they have any suspicions of drug abuse? Now, I know, I guess it would be different. It depends on the drug itself.
Sure.
Right.
Best thing I can say is be nosy.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
I mean, I know it's not a popular thing. I used to get mad at my mom when she's, you know, asked me all these questions and wonder what I'm doing, but be nosy. Especially, you know, if they're not as interested in, you know, if they played sports their whole life and they're playing in middle school, high school, and there's been no indication they haven't said anything about not wanting to do anymore. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden they're not wanting to do anymore.
Okay.
Their grades start going bad real quick. Now, I mean, there could be other reasons for this stuff, but I mean, mm-hmm. that's something that they may want to, you know, do a little bit of investigation, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to find out, well, okay, all of a sudden this is happening, so I need to look into this a little further and start finding out what's going on in their life and sit down and talk to them. And I mean,
so any changes
right.
that you may see
now, whether, they're going to change. They're growing. I mean,
right.
this stuff's going to happen. But if it's something drastic,
change, that's, you've got a kid who's been doing relatively well in school. You know, was concerned about their schoolwork. Grades don't matter anymore. I would think mood changes.
Sure,
mood changes. Someone whose mood tends to vacillate back and forth, and you want that's never been a problem before. Okay. What about the way they dress? Because I was thinking, and I might be aging myself, but if you what is it, skin popping or shooting, you'll have marks or tracks on your arm.
You'll have track marks.
And so I would think you might want to cover that up.
If it's, you know, dead of summer and they're wearing jackets and long sleeves, you might want to check out not just the drug aspect. I mean, they may be cutting themselves, you know, part of depression or something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, with the track marks, they'll do it, you know, other places too. They'll try to do it between their toes. Wherever you can't see it. But, you know, meth, they call it meth bugs. Like they'll get the sores on and they'll be scratching them all the time. Right. So you'll see that.
Well, meth, as I understand, seems to just attack the body. Your teeth fall out. Your skin gets awful. Your hair. Is that true?
Yeah, that's bad. So there's a website called Faces of Meth. And they'll actually show you people's mugshots from the first time they were arrested from doing it, and then the next time, like it's a progression, and you can see how bad and how short a time the drug, you know, what it's done to people, and what it will do to you if you get on it.
Well, I would think that parents should be able to identify that very quickly,
sure,
very easily. Okay, if that's the problem. Okay, any other places that you may be around for drug treatment?
I don't know. I'm sure the hospital, sure TMH and
TMH.
Capital Regional, I'm sure they
probably
offer
something. And Village, I'm familiar
sure.
with them, you know.
But as far as actual locations for treatment, that's, to my knowledge, that's all that I know of.
Okay. I think I neglected to talk to you about Speed, our Black Beauties, our stimulant medication. Do we talk about that?
No, we
amphetamines. I mean,
like meth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, but I'm talking now more about the prescription stimulant.
Yeah, like Adderall. Adderall is basically 100% stimulant.
Okay.
You'll see the pupils. I mean, you can.
That,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can tell. You know, something's going on there. They don't eat as much.
Mm-hmm.
They don't sleep as much. It seems like you can get it. A prescription for it for
any place.
Yeah, anywhere.
It's
out there. We come across it all the time, especially when we're dealing with college kids. And even ones that aren't prescribed it, they call it the study drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to take it. So when they go into study cram for an exam or something, you'll see them all, you know, they'll all be out at the library and they're all, you know, on.
We're out of time.
Sure.
I mean, and I got, you see, I have many more questions I could ask you. But first of all, I just really want to extend a sincere appreciation for you coming and sharing this information.
No problem.
To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, Same place to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollifield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.